Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning. Just a few announcements, and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Had 24 in Sunday school this morning. I'd like to encourage you, if you can, to come join us for Sunday school on Sunday mornings at 9:45. I think you'll get a blessing out of them. We have some excellent classes. All of them are excellent, and we have a real good time studying God's Word there. Don't forget, this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. is our monthly fellowship meal, and afterwards we'll have our prayer service and church conference. That's Wednesday, June the 4th. Sunday, June the 15th, is Father's Day, so we'll have no p.m. service that night. What starts on June the 16th?
BBS.
You want to come up, Michaela, and do say yes to the night?
Yeah.
See, already excited, y'all. So keep that in prayer. Maybe we get Harold to do say yes to BBS Father's Day or something, you know, before. We can get that started and all. How many years we've been doing that, Cece?
The year that it came out, I don't know.
90s and 90s.
I'm thinking 88 or something. Right. It's been a long time. Every how long the song has been out, it's when we started.
It's a tradition that we always do, say yes to BBS. A lot of generation of kids have grown to love that song. But VBS is 16th through the 20th, so be in prayer for that as we prepare for that. Sunday, June the 22nd, is Mission Dignity Sunday, and we'll take up a special offering. It'll be taken at that time for Mission Dignity. If you want to give before then, just designate it, write it on the envelope, or write it on your check. Make it out to Wigan Baptist Church, but just designate it to Mission Dignity. Thursday, June the 26th. Is at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap men meeting. I'd like to encourage all the men and young boys, come join us on the June the 26th. We'll have a meal and then we'll have a devotion, and it's just a good time of fellowship for the men and boys. So I want to invite all the men and boys to come join us that then, June the 26th at 7 p.m. Sunday, June the 29th, is Fifth Sunday, so we'll have a Lord's Supper, and then we'll have a fellowship meal after the morning service at 6 p.m. that night, as we usually do every fifth Sunday. We'll have our worship service in the original church, so keep that in mind. And please save any empty gum boxes you may have. They are needed for VBS. Any questions on that, you can contact Susan Maxwell. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? I'll let Harold off the hook. Okay, that's good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to gather here to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, today, Lord. And I just pray today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will lead and guide and direct us, Lord, as we have this time of singing praises, Lord, and singing these hymns to you, Lord, to glorify you, Lord. But I especially want to lift up Brother Tim to you today, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that, Lord, as we always know, there are so many distractions going on in this world today, Lord, and even each and every Sunday, Lord, as we prepare, Lord, many times Satan tries to distract us, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that as we enter here into our worship service today, Lord, that we'll just take away all the distractions, whatever they may be, Lord, and that we just focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Yep.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Sing all three verses.
Thank you.
sing first, second, and last verse.
Thank you. that's be our prayer every day. If you'll take your Bibles this morning, we've been studying through the book of Hebrews. This morning we'll be in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Now, just to kind of let you in on a secret, it's not a secret because it's in the bulletin, but tonight we're going to look at verses 12 and 13, specifically this evening, about the Word of God and what it is in our life and the importance of God's Word in our lives. And so we'll look at that this evening at 6 o'clock. But as I lead up to this, how many of you would say you've had a busy day today already? But how about a busy week? A busy month? How many of you thought January 1st was yesterday? Here it is, June 1st already, you know, and it's like you blink and man, it's already gone. And so many of us live busy lives between work, family, jobs, church, activities. There's just so much that goes on in life. Most all of us, if you have kids, you realize that, you know, they're born one day and the next day they graduate high school. And the next day they get married, the next thing you know, you're in your 50s and 60s, right? And so time goes by. But the writer of Hebrews has given us several warnings already about the danger of drifting, about the failure to enter God's rest, as we'll look at today. And so he's given us several warnings already just to be careful to not neglect our salvation, because you can get to the point where you hear the Word of God so many times, you hear the call of God on your life and so many times, because we don't want God interrupting our lives, we reject him. We reject him because we don't want God to be the boss of our lives. We want to be in control. But let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever thought you were in control of your own life? How many of you found out you weren't? You see, we tend to look at God as a genie in a bottle. We only want him to come out when we desperately need him. I tell you, God doesn't work that way. God is on-time God, and he's always there. He's always with us. But the problem is, many times, we don't want to walk in step with him. We want to do our own thing, go our own way, live our own life. And then somehow, we think that God's going to give us his rest. We look at this passage this morning. I think there's a danger that we can fall into when we think that we've got it all figured out and we can just somehow slide into heaven, you know, by the skin of our teeth, whatever that means. You know, just kind of just slide in. I think it's a very very dangerous place for us to be when we live our lives that way. Because here's the reality. As we're going to look in just a moment, I'll just kind of set the backdrop here. The nation of Israel, chapter 3, yeah, they were the people of God, right? They were the Israelites. They were the Jews. They were God's chosen people. And yet, because they would not obey God's word, what happened? Chapter 3, verse 19, we'll get to that later. But in that verse, it says they did not enter because of unbelief. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you believe this to be God's word? Inspired, written, It's God's word. Now, how many of you believe everything in it? How many of you do everything in it? Point I'm trying to make, it's one thing to say I believe. It's another thing to act on. What does your faith, how do you live out your faith? You say, well, I believe it's God's word. I believe every word in it. But I'm not going to do everything it says. The Israelites, they knew God. They saw the miracles that God did in Egypt. They saw the miracles of God parting the Red Sea in front of them. They saw the miracle of God drowning the Egyptian army in the sea. They saw all those things. They saw the manna. They saw the quail. They saw the fire by night and the cloud by day. They saw all the miracles of God. They were associated with God. But when it came time to enter into God's rest, guess what? There was a whole generation of those that were above the age of 20 that did not make it in. They knew God. Let's just say they went to church every Sunday. Every time the bowl was broken, they were there. They quoted scripture because the Hebrew children were taught the first five books of the Bible by the time they were 5 years old. Amen. Do you know the Catholic Church today tells you that if they can have your child to the age of 5 years old, they'll never leave the Catholic faith? It's important for moms and dads to teach the Bible. It's important for moms and dads to know the Word of God. It's important for moms and dads and kids and teenagers to know the God of the Bible. They need to know the Bible, but they don't just need to know it, they need to do it. James 1:22 tells us not to just be hearers of the Word, but to be what? You see, my faith, what I truly believe, I will live out. If you don't believe God is real, guess what you're going to do? Church don't matter. Living right doesn't matter. Doing right doesn't matter. Nothing matters because the only thing that matters is me and what I want. But if I believe the Word of God and I trust the Word of God, then I'm not only going to believe that it's the Word of God, I'm going to take the Word of God and I'm going to do my very best to apply the Word of God to my life. Am I going to fail? You bet. But that shouldn't be my life plan, is to stay in a ditch. My life plan should be to stay on the straight and narrow. And every now and then I'm going to get off in the ditch and get back up on the road to go the direction God wants me to go. Oftentimes, though, we get so busy in life, and it bleeds into our spiritual lives as well. If you're above the age of, let's just say 45, I'm just drawing a number. If you're above the age of 45, have there been many things in life that you wanted to accomplish? Have you accomplished all of them? Why? Because life happens. Things happen. Troubles happen. Things you can't control happen. But sometimes they don't happen because we didn't make them happen. We didn't prepare, we didn't plan, we didn't do what was necessary to accomplish those things. And the nation of Israel, in many ways, was the same way. They knew God, they believed God to a point, but they were not willing to fully put their faith and trust in Christ. And if they did that with all the evidence that God showed them each and every day, you and I can do the same thing. We can float through life because we're basing our relationship with God, or basing our entering into God's rest based on some decision we made when we were 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 years old or 12 or 20. But it has not changed the way we live today. And I would just about, I can't say that I know your heart and your life, but I would just about bank on it that if your faith has not changed how you live, then your faith is not real. Amen? If it doesn't change who you are, what you do, where you go, then it's probably not real faith, because it has not impacted your life. Because here again, what I believe impacts what I do. What you believe truly impacts how you live and what you do in your life. Let's go ahead and read a long introduction. Sorry about that. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of what? Disobedience. Again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the God, for the people of God's youth. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from all of him, or excuse me, from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. We pray with me. Heavenly Fathers, we have read these verses in Hebrews chapter 4. Lord, I pray that you would give us insight, give us wisdom, give us discernment. Lord, bring conviction where conviction is needed. Lord, help us to celebrate in those areas in our lives that you have already accomplished. Lord, what you have set out to do. But Lord, we realize that we all must be careful. Lord, we must pay attention. We may, Lord, need to be careful that we don't drift and not accomplish the things you would have for us to do. Lord, I pray, knowing that you have laid the foundation from before the world, Lord, you have done everything necessary for us to be saved, to have rest in you. Lord, sometimes we think that obedience doesn't matter. But Lord, obedience shows what we believe. And if we don't believe, then we're not going to act accordingly to how you want us to live, how you want us to do, where you want us to go. So, Lord, I pray today, Lord, you just speak to our hearts and lives, Lord. Help us to be obedient in every area of our lives. Lord, if there's anything that's hindering us today from following you, Lord, I pray that we would make right with that, that we fully put our faith and trust in you and all that you have done for us. So, Lord, have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we look at this and we realize that if we want a restful life, and in that I mean, sometimes we want vacation 365 days a year, right? But the Bible also tells us that if we don't work, we shouldn't what? So we have to work, but in our work, because if you don't work all day at night time, what do you do? Come on, y'all help me out. If you just have a lazy day around the house, take 15 naps, whatever, you probably have a pretty hard time sleeping at night. You might be, well, you're not working because you just sit. But if you go through that, then you have a hard time sleeping, but then you don't feel rested the next day. And so it's just a cycle over and over and over again. So we go through life, but we do that spiritually as well. We say, well, we're just going to do this, that, a little bit here, a little bit there. And we're not really going to get involved. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to get sold out for Jesus because we want a salvation. I'm going to stone me after this. We want a salvation that doesn't change us. We want a salvation that lets me do whatever I want to do. Right? Live however I want to live. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I say. I don't have to watch my language. I don't have to do anything. I just do what I've always done. Well, we want a salvation that saves us and takes us to heaven, but we don't want one that changes us in here now. The nation of Israel, as I said earlier, they have an opportunity to enter into God's rest. And so what is God's rest for the Israelites back here? Well, in this point in time, their rest was entering into Canaan land, which would have been the promised land as we commonly refer to it as. God had given them a place to live, to grow, to worship him. And the problem was, when they got to the edge of it, God says, go in and take the land. And the people said, what? We ain't going. We're not going to do it. God, we know you're there. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us each day when we woke up and had to get out there and pick up the land. You know, that was 5 days a week, enough for each day. Then on the sixth day, there was how much? Twice as much, because they weren't supposed to work on what day? The Sabbath. So they every day they saw the provisions, the blessings of God. And God said, you know, lead them to the place I'm going to show them. And God's done everything that was necessary. He's provided a way. He's even provided the place. But when it was time to go in, he said, we ain't going. We're not going to go. God, we believe you, but. We believe, but. How many of us sing songs, even the hymns, the great hymns, we know them well, but we sing them, but when it comes to living them out, guess what? We say, God, we know. We know you. We've seen what you've done. We like what you've done. But you ain't changing my life. You're not telling me to cross over, because I really don't believe you can do what you say you can do. That's what they did. And I believe that even gets into our lives as we go through. Here again in chapter 3, verse 19, it tells them, so we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Here again, time and time again, God had proved himself. How many times has God proved himself to you? How has it changed? We sing the hymn a lot of times at the end of the service, wherever he leads. Y'all finish it for me. Is it true? When he says go across the street and knock on your neighbor's door, do you go? Or do you say, Lord, I don't believe. God, you didn't give me a tongue. I'm not a people person. But we talk all day long. If we ain't talking with our mouths, we're talking with our fingers. Amen? So we want the blessings of God without responsibility. The Israelites, they wanted the blessings of God. And when they didn't get their way, they did what? They complained, right? Over and over again. They complained, and yet God was gracious because God said, it's a good thing I'm not God, amen? Because I'd wipe myself out, amen? God says, go, and they say no. Enter in, and say, no, we're going to send some spies there. Moses, you send one man from each tribe, and I know we've been over this before, but bear with me. Send 12 people over, one person from each of the tribes of Israel, 12 tribes, and so they go in, they scout out the land for 40 days, and they come back, and 10 of them said, and people over there, they're like giants. They look at us like we are grasshoppers. We can't take the land. It's a good land. Man, they got grapes this big and cantaloupes, you know, can't over in the center. All these good things, but we don't believe in God. So we can't take it. On the other hand, you had two people, Josh and Caleb, that come back and said, we can do it. If God is on our side, nothing can stop us. All we have to do is take the land. Who did the rest of the people believe? The 10 that doubted. Can I tell you to be careful when you express your doubts in God? Because your doubts in God can also lead other people to doubt God. You see, Joshua and Caleb, they believed God. They believed that God could do anything, and as long as God was on their side, nothing and no one was going to stand in their way. But instead of believing two people, the crowd, the Israelites, wanted to believe those 10. And because of that, God passed judgment on them. They were reckless with their lives. They were reckless with their faith. They were reckless in everything they did because they did not trust God. You see, every one of us here today, we either trust God or we don't. You trust him or you don't. Plain and simple. Do you trust him for your salvation? He says that he sent his son, one and only son, to die on the cross for our sins, that he was buried and rose again on the third day, defeating sin and death. And if we put our faith and trust in him, we too can be saved, right? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you remember when Jesus began preaching, when John the Baptist came on the scene and started preaching, they both said, repent and do what? Believe. It's by faith that we are saved. It's by faith that we are saved, but along with that faith comes works of what? Repentance. And repentance means to turn from who we used to be and what we used to do and turn and start doing right. Turn from our sins and turn to Christ by faith. But Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith it is impossible to please God. It's impossible to please him. How do we do that? Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to take the word of God, and we have to believe it is the word of God. And as we believe it is the word of God, we begin to obey the word of God. You see, it's one thing to say I have faith, but if my faith doesn't change what I do, then it's not real faith, because I really don't believe it. Because if I believe it, I'm going to obey it. If I don't believe it, then I fall into the category of not receiving the rest of God because of unbelief. The Israelites face that here in chapter 4 of Hebrews. Y'all know who William Bradford is? Y'all probably have never met him. He lived about 200 years ago. The governor of Plymouth Colony of Pilgrims. This is what he said. He says, those who believe in the Holy Scriptures are bound to observe its teachings. Those who do not are to be bound by its consequences. You see, there is the response of we see the Word of God, we hear the Word of God, we read the Word of God, and that would be great if that's where it ended. But is that where it ends? So we can say, well, it's the Word of God. Here, I'm going to get too stoned. Here's our lifestyle, and I hope this isn't true for everybody, but probably for a lot of us. We say, man, it's the Word of God. Hold the Bible. Get home to church today, guess what's going to happen? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. Honey, you seen my Bible? Wipe the dust off of it. We believe it, but how's it impacted our lives? Do we pick it up? Do we read it? Throughout the day, do we pick it up? Do we read it? Throughout the week, we say we believe it, but how does it change us? If we truly believe it's the Word of God, shouldn't it be a priority? If we are God's people, shouldn't it be something we want to do, something we want to read? How many of y'all like watching TV? Come on. We're in church, tell the truth, right? Probably all of us do. I like watching NCIS. Y'all know what that is? Crime Scene Investigators. If NCIS came to your house to investigate you for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Could they come in there and say, I know this person's a Christian because of what they do. Man, they read the Bible every day. They spend time in prayer. They live, they give, they go, they do. They serve. They love God and they love others as themselves. You see, what we do proves what we believe. But if we don't believe, then we're not going to act on it. We're going to be accused of unbelief. A person cannot say they have faith in God without also saying they have faith in the Word of God. And a person cannot say they have faith in the Word of God and then not obey what it says to do. Why is it important? Well, I think it's important Because as we realized, the Israelites, man, when God was doing a miracle, you couldn't beat them out of the way. They were front and center. They wanted to have a front row seat. They were all about the miracles of God and witnessing what God was doing. But when it came time to obey God, to have that faith, to step over into the promised land, they were reckless with their faith. And because they were reckless with their faith, they self-destructed. Right? God provided the way. God provided the place. God provided everything they needed. But when it came time to prove what they believed, guess what they did? Stood on their bank shaking their head. We're not. I wonder what God has told you to do. I wonder what God has asked you to do that you are struggling with. You're standing on that river. God, I know you're real. I've heard you. I've seen you. I've watched you. I've seen you change the lives of other people, but God, I'm just not there. Well, you see, those people missed out on God's rest. But it's a danger for us today as well. And you say, well, why is that? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. To be diligent. What does it mean to be diligent? It means to make every effort, to be conscious, to be aware, to be concerned. To examine not only our lives, but everything else going on, and be diligent to say, listen, I don't want to get right to the edge of the Jordan. I don't want to get right to the edge of heaven's door. And so, well, you know, I just don't believe. I don't believe enough to take that next step. Wonder if that's you today. You've heard, you've seen, you've heard the gospel preached over and over and over and over again. You've been raised in church by godly parents, but you get to the edge, you say, I'm not going to take that step. You know, I believe, but it's not, my faith isn't enough to take that step. I still want control of my life. I still want to do what I want to do. I don't want to turn myself over to the Lord. I don't want to say, here I am, Lord, send me, because I'm scared He's going to send me somewhere I don't want to be. Amen? Come on. That's a story for another time, but I'll just give you the short verse. When we went to the ministry, you know where I did not want to go? Georgia. Put my resume all across the state of Florida, all the way across the state of Alabama. And I wasn't going to go to Georgia. And guess where I've been for 14 years. God has a sense of humor. Just tell him what you're not going to do, amen? Obedience to God's word proves we love God's word. It proves that we believe it to be God's word. But if I don't believe it's from God, if I don't believe it's His word, then it's not going to cause me to change my life. It's not going to change me to believe and to obey the word of God in my life. Be diligent. Be diligent. Here again, the Israelites, they wanted the benefits of God without responsibility. But you know, that's the view of many Christians today. They want the blessings of God, but they want no responsibility. God says, love other people. He said, well, I can't stand them across the road. God said, treat your neighbor as yourself. And he said, I barely got enough to get by my own. I'm not worried about that. God said, love your neighbor as yourself. You see somebody hurting, beat up on the side of the road, and you keep on driving. So I believe it to be God's word. But then when it comes time to do it, what do? We make every excuse in the world. Make every excuse. You see, to be diligent to God's word brings spiritual health and brings restfulness to our souls. I believe one reason there are so many Christians who don't feel fulfilled in their walk with the Lord is because they're not being obedient. Amos 3:3, this is not on the screen. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Maybe the reason we don't want to hear God's word on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or throughout the week, because if we believe the word of God, we should be reading the word of God, right? And applying the word of God. If I'm not walking with God, that means I'm walking away from Him. Right? Maybe the reason we don't want to hear the Word of God or read the Word of God is because we know we're not walking with God. And as long as I'm not confronted with it, because it kind of like goes the same, if you can't stand the heat, get out of where. If your life ain't lined up with the Bible, guess what you'll do with the Bible? Put it on a coffee table, because I don't want it to get on to me. I don't want to read its word because it just might change my life. See, Hebrews tells us about the Word of God and how the Word of God reveals who we are. And this is probably, like I said, we'll talk more on this tonight. But the Word of God is like a mirror. How many of y'all look in the mirror every day? I'm not going to ask how many hours you spend looking in the mirror. I'm not going to leave that one. But you walk up to the mirror in the bathroom, been outside working in the field all day, or on a greasy tractor or pickup truck or whatever, and you walk up there to that mirror. What are you going to see? You're going to see filth. You're going to see, like me, the older I get, the more little them things you get on, the wrinkles, I guess you're going to. You get all those things on you, you know, and you got bumps where you used to have bumps and all those kind of. And so you can go up to that mirror and look into that mirror, but can that mirror do anything about you? It can only show you. Right? You got a bar of soap or one of them pump things, right? Might have old counters for them, I don't think. But you got them there, and you say, you read the label that says, for cleansing, facial cleansing, hand sanitizer, whatever it is. Can that hand sanitizer, that bar of soap, that liquid pump soap, can it do anything about your dirt? If you don't use it, you see, the Word of God, it not only shows us who and what we are, it shows us the filth in our lives, but it also has the power to cleanse us. It has the power to cleanse us, but we have to acknowledge that it is the Word of God. We have to believe it's the Word of God. We have to trust it's the Word of God, but then we also have to apply the Word of God. We have to apply it. The mirror's showing it to us. The soap says it'll do it, but if we don't do it, guess what? It's not going to help. It's not going to clean. It's not going to accomplish what it was designed to do. God spoke the word of his word to us that so we may know what we are to do and what we are not to do. To know what honors and pleases him and what dishonors him. It tells us what happens to us when we put our faith and trust in him. And he gives us rest, right? But the opposite is true as well. If we don't believe, there is great consequences. That there are great rewards when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He gives us rest. He tells us, all of you who are burdened, heavy laden, come to me and I will do what? Give you rest. But we can't be in rest when we're not walking with God. You can't be happy. How many of you remember as a child, and I know none of y'all did this, how many of y'all did something as a child you knew was wrong and you spent the next 4 or 5 days worrying to death that mom and dad were going to find out? Come on. Did you get much rest during that time?
No.
You see, the Word of God already knows us. God knows what you're going to do before you know what you're going to do. God knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. Let's go ahead and reread those verses. Verses 12 and 13. Let's see what it says. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him, to God, to whom we must give an account. Sharp. There's nothing hard enough to keep God's word from penetrating. You can have a hard heart. You can have sin in your life. You can say, God doesn't love me. He can't do anything for me. God's word can. Amen. It can. It's sharp. It is living. In other words, it's not just for 2,000 years ago. Amen. A lot of people say, well, it's outdated. Because they don't want it to change their life. God's word is relevant. It was relevant 4,500 years ago. It was relevant 2,000 years ago. And guess what? It'll be relevant today and another 2,000 years into the future. And it is relevant to each and every one of us today. It is living. It is powerful. It has the power to transform anyone's life. There's no one who is too far gone. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. You ever done something good for the wrong reason? Ooh, here we go. God knows it. You ain't fooled him. He knows if you did something for your neighbor just so your neighbor would do something for you. Right? He knows if you did something for your spouse. Just so that they would do something for you. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows what you're going to do before you do it. And then it says that everything is naked. What does that mean? And laid bare. Get more into this tonight. When they used to take prisoners to execute them, as they were walking that man to his whatever type of capital punishment he was fixing to face, they would take a very sharp knife, put it there under his chin. Why did they do that? Because most of us, when we're hiding from something, what do? We don't want to look eyes to eyes with everybody else. We don't want to feel the guilt and the shame. And the Word of God tells us that God already knows it. It's a thought, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts and of our minds. And that, it's like a sword. It's laid us open. We can't do anything. He knows. We can't hide it. But here's what I do know. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's forgiveness. There's forgiveness. Do you believe it? If you believe it, then you have to receive it. If you believe God's word, we need to read it. We need to trust it. We need to work it into our lives, to apply it into our lives. What about us today? What about you? You can't have rest until you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior. You can't have rest as a Christian if you're living your life contrary to what God's word tells us. You can't accomplish what God wants you to do in your life and the blessings that God wants to give you if you're saying, Lord, I don't believe. How has your belief impacted your life? Are you walking with him today or are you walking against him? Maybe you're the one that needs to put your faith and trust in him and say, Lord, I believe. Maybe we need to be like the father whose son was sick and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Maybe you're the one standing on the edge of the Jordan. Lord, I've seen your miracles. I've seen you. I've seen you work in people's lives. And today it's time for me to step into the promise of rest. You can't be at rest with God if you're running from him. You can't be at rest from God if you're walking away from him. You can't be at rest with God if you're living your life against him. How do you receive rest? Through obedience. Where's your obedience today? We stand with me. Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord. Lord, I pray for your will to be done, not ours. I pray for that one, Lord, who maybe has heard you over and over again. But they have failed to trust you. They failed to put their faith in you. And by faith, Lord, to be obedient to your command. Lord, I pray for that one that today would be the day that they would give their lives to you. That they would fully surrender their will for yours. Lord, that they would admit that they are sinners. Lord, that they would confess those sins, but also turn from those sins and turn to you. But Lord, I believe there's also those who are here today who know they're saved, but Lord, they know they're not walking in your ways. They're not doing what you would have them to do. And Lord, they've been struggling because they have not fully surrendered themselves to you. Lord, I pray today would be the day, Lord, that they would just simply say, Lord, whatever it is you want to do, I believe, and I'm going to act on it. Lord, help us to have the rest we need desperately. Lord, help us to be with you, to walk with you. Lord, just to feel the benefits of a life that is lived in rest. Lord, have your ways. Only you can during this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.